Og Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wife and forever soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and Hag Urim Sameach, which means Happy Festival of Lights. And we will continue our lesson on Hanukkah tonight, right after we praise our Lord.
Lord, we do praise you and give you great thanks for your many blessings. We continue to pray for our soldiers stationed in Syria and Iraq, as well as the Israeli soldiers, the hostages, and the many innocent victims. May you comfort them, and may they seek your face and realize you are their only salvation. We lift up to you tonight's listeners who need a healing, and we pray redemption for all our loved ones. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
Okay, update on Israel.
Of course. Well, first I want to say that I understand there are some Palestinian Catholics living in Gaza as well, so keep them in your prayers as well. And Israel has had some recent needed rains, and along with the rains came amazing advances for the IDF in the war, seizing all kinds of weaponry and took over some key strongholds that provide command posts and protection for the terrorist leadership. As well, very shortly, they say a deal to free approximately 50 women and children hostages is being completed.
Well, Israel, of course, will be the loser in any ceasefire.
I agree. But international pressure is mounting.
Well, the UN is certainly not on Israel's side.
Well, they never have been. Mm-hmm. And pressure is continuing to mount for a ceasefire in Gaza before they complete the job of eliminating Hamas. In return for the 50 hostages, Israel will release 150 prisoners that have never been accused of murder, of course. As well, Israel's surveillance drones must be turned off for 6 hours every day.
You know, that's not right.
Uh-huh. And we should also be concerned that public opinion continues to rise against Israel. I'm still shocked to see the hatred and the quick rise in anti-Semitism, the massive pro-Hamas rallies worldwide, especially here, and it's gaining momentum.
They also congregate so quickly.
I know, of course. Well, that's social media today, especially through TikTok, which is China's propaganda tool, who, of course, wants civil discourse and chaos around the world, and especially in America. But it was sure great to see in D.C. last week approximately 300,000 pro-Israel supporters that, by the way, the mainstream media hardly mentioned.
But we must not keep silent.
Mm-mm. Right. Speak out, for every voice counts and every post on social media counts. And Israel has been pausing their attacks from time to time, letting in some fuel and humanitarian needs. But there is little guarantee, and we talked about this before, that it will not find its way into, of course, Hamas' hands.
We know Almighty God will use this to bring the Jews to Israel.
I think so, and he will determine the outcome. But our job is to let God know whose side we're on.
And up north?
Well, Hezbollah fired over 1,000 rockets into Israel over the weekend and continues still today. Israel responds and did attack a Hezbollah military compound and other terror infrastructures in Lebanese territory. I also want to mention that besides eliminating terrorism from Gaza, Israel could benefit in another way, and it's not discussed much. You know, for years, Bibi has talked about making a new, wider, and longer canal for ships to pass through Israel, naming it the Ben-Gurion Canal, that would rival the Suez Canal and benefit not just Israel, but also Europe and the United States. And it would begin at Eilat, which is at the tip of southern Israel, all the way up north through probably through Gaza or right next to Gaza in the northern part up there.
So you can see another motive to move the Palestinians out of the way.
Absolutely. Therefore, it is important that some countries take the Palestinians, so I bet they will, like in Europe, because the canal will benefit them greatly. Also, the United States has offered Egypt quite a lot of money, I found out, with the promise to cancel Egypt's strangling debt.
So they will have to give in.
Well, that's my bet. Probably they'll have to take about 100,000 Palestinians and just put them in the Sinai. But more on all this in our next newsletter to go out in a week or two. Also, have you noticed gas prices have come down a bit? Just a bit. Apparently, the United States has now acknowledged that it seized a cargo ship containing nearly 1 million barrels of Iranian oil earlier this year, which they can do because Iran has been violating sanctions, which we seldom enforce, but will likely continue till at least the elections next year.
And, of course, this has inflamed Iran.
Oh, it really has. And perhaps this is also why they are hitting our troops in Syria, which, by the way, yesterday we did retaliate, which is just the fourth time compared to them striking near our bases approximately 65 times. But this last strike actually did some harm in that several Iran-linked militants were killed.
Do you want to comment on China's visit with Biden?
Well, I think I'll save my comments about that to the newsletter, except to say President Xi gave a lot of lip service and was there more for the meeting with the CEOs of American companies. Apparently, he needs their money.
Heard that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, we could really use an extra end-of-the-year love offering to help with our expenses, which includes many research sources that aren't free, and, of course, to help keep us on the air. And we are still a deductible charity on your taxes. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your continued learning.
Well, thank you, honey. We also want to say we will be taking a short break over the holidays to spend time with our large family and for some extra Bible time and research. But we'll return on January 9th with some interesting end-time studies that should bless you.
I think it will.
Okay, so as we said last week, which is up on shofarministries.net if you missed it, Hanukkah is one of the two lesser feasts.
The other being Purim,
which are not included with the seven great feasts. Hanukkah is also referred to as the Feast of Dedication. Why? Because Hanukkah in Hebrew means dedication. And the Jews rededicated their temple after cleaning it up from Antiochus Epiphanes' abomination of desolation.
And sprinkling everything with pig's urine.
Mm-hmm. We saw that in John chapter 10. How he differentiated this feast by letting the reader know it was in the winter. Whereas the greater Feast of Dedication, when Solomon dedicated his temple, is Tabernacles, which is in the fall. And by the way, is Yeshua's real birth. Therefore, counting back 280 days, we come to the eighth day of Hanukkah, obviously when he was incarnated into Mary.
It's just connecting the dots.
And searching out the matter, as Proverbs 25 says.
Let's look at some more typology.
Okay. Antiochus Epiphanes was an Assyrian of the Seleucid dynasty, but, and this is key, he was raised in Rome from an early child.
So, looking at typology, the Antichrist could come from Rome, but doesn't have to be Italian.
Correct. So this Seleucid dynasty controlled Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Babylon, which was the northern eastern area after Alexander's empire was divided into four sections. Then Antiochus' father died, and Antiochus' older brother was poisoned. Why? Because his younger brother, Heliodorus, he wanted the throne so badly So he had to kill the older brother, never thinking Rome would release Antiochus. However, they did. After a high ransom was paid to Rome, who had been holding Antiochus as collateral since childhood.
But he did live lavishly.
That's what I understand, and he was treated very well. And therefore, he was very charismatic and came into power peacefully with much flattery, even paying the back taxes owed to Syria and the surrounding Roman provinces that were beginning to gain power. By the way, when you read in the Bible the word the Assyrian in Scripture, it can refer to Antiochus Epiphanes or the Antichrist, since he is a type of Antiochus Epiphanes. It's more of a title.
Yeah, context will define which one is being referred to.
Correct. Anyhow, the people immediately liked Antiochus with his appealing style, and he was able to make a friendly agreement with Jason, the high priest of Israel.
As will the Antichrist.
Yep, Daniel 9:27, which the people, of course, praised him for.
However, he did break it a few years later.
Yep, as prophesied by Daniel years before in chapter 11, verse 23.
And so will the Antichrist.
Also prophesied by Daniel in chapter 9, 27. You see, Antiochus wanted to replace Jason, the high priest, with Menelaus, who paid Antiochus well for the high priest position. And Antiochus knew he would need Menelaus later to promote him when declaring himself God and sitting in the holy temple.
Kind of like his false prophet.
You could say that. However, Jason's army fought hard and kept his role as high priest.
But that infuriated Antiochus.
Oh, yeah. And in 169 BC, he went on a rampage and slew 40,000 Jews and sold many Jews into slavery. That's when he boiled swine's flesh and sprinkled its broth throughout the temple, stole the sacred vessels, stopped their worship, and offered swine on the altar.
Besides Daniel 9, Jesus also said it will happen again.
He sure did in Matthew 24:15, and told the Jews, when they see another abomination, flee to the mountains.
And by the way, that's not Petra.
No, rather the same area in Saudi Arabia, Galatians 4:25. And that's where they were before, when they fled Egypt from Pharaoh and were protected and cared for. So more typology, because the title Pharaoh can also refer to the future Antichrist.
Again, context is important.
And you can know it's still future if you see the words "in that day" used in the same area. So, in 167 BC, Antiochus made the abomination when he carved his own face on the statue of Zeus, placed it in the temple's Holy of Holies, and called himself God, demanding everyone's worship. As well, he ordered any Jew who was caught reading the Torah or caught doing any of their laws, including circumcision, to be killed.
Yeah, he even forced them to eat pork.
Which was forbidden under their covenant.
We have a new covenant.
Amen. Now, unfortunately, during Antiochus' reign, many Jews did succumb to his demands, and also some assimilated into the Greek culture to escape death, and even worshiped the statue. But praise be, a remnant held strong, although they underwent great torments, as in whippings that would tear their bodies to pieces and much more horrendous torture.
We know this from the first century historian, Josephus.
We do. Finally, Mattathias, with his five sons from the priestly tribe of Levi, from the family of Hasmon, rebelled and started the first war for religious freedom, an heroic revolt, killing many soldiers in their hometown of Modin, and even killing a Jew because they caught him worshiping at Antiochus' statue, along with the emperor's commissioner who was making him do it.
So the Jews were forced to worship it.
Right, but felt he should have gone to his death before worshiping a false god.
Of course.
Anyhow, the family fled to the hill country along with anyone who would join, where they trained to become guerrilla fighters. Mattathias, who was very old by this time, died in the first year of the revolt, and was succeeded by his son Judah, known as the Maccabee.
meaning hammer.
Yeah. Now Antiochus' army was considered the mightiest in the world at that time, and it was a hard and long battle called the Maccabean Revolt that continued for approximately 3.5 years.
You know, that's an interesting amount of time.
You think? Mm-hmm. Finally, after 4 major battles, the Maccabees, led by Judah, were victorious, ousting the evil king and his Seleucid army.
Antiochus soon became insane and died a madman.
He did. Of course, the Jews were elated, but as we said last week, the miraculous victory is not the real reason for Hanukkah.
Yeah, their joy turned to bitterness when they saw the temple's abomination,
where pigs had been sacrificed and more Greek gods had been erected. So they set to work, and finally by sundown on the 24th of Kislev in 165 BC, the temple had been cleansed and ready to be rededicated. However, when they went to light the 7-branched menorah,
which had to remain lit all the time,
they could only find one small flask of undefiled oil, enough for only one day. This oil had to be special consecrated oil. You can read about it in Exodus 27. Had to be hand-beaten pressed olives without the use of heat.
They call that cold-pressed.
Yep. Which takes at least a week to process. But lo and behold, the lighted menorah miraculously stayed lit for 8 days till they finished the process. It's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that Jews everywhere, still today, along with an increasing amount of educated Christians, light a nightly candle at sundown on a Hanukkah, which is an 8+1 servant candle, which equals a 9-branched candlestick holder. And they do this beginning in the evening of Kislev 24.
Which is December 7th this year.
It is. So, on last week's program, and a little bit on this week's program, we already explained, but I've been asked by several people to keep repeating it, so I'm going to review that again tonight, on how we can know that Jesus wasn't really born in the winter months, but rather on the first day of Tabernacles, called the Greater Feast of Lights in the fall.
And Jesus called himself the Light of the World.
Because he is.
Mm-hmm.
If you count back on the Jewish calendar from Tabernacles, which is Tishri 15, 280 days, which is the normal time of gestation, you come to the 8th day of Hanukkah, also known as the Lesser Feast of Lights, but still a Feast of Lights. Knowing God, it makes total sense to me that it was on this day that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she became pregnant with Jesus. Incarnated on the 8th day of the Feast of Lights and born on the first day of the Greater Feast of Lights in a sukkah that was mandatory to stay in during Tabernacles, according to Leviticus 23, and a place where animals would also feed, Genesis 33:17.
You know, that's exactly how our God would do it.
Perfect calculation.
Mm-hmm.
Another gold nugget is in John 10, when Jesus spoke of how no one can take us out of his Father's hand or his hand, verses 29-30. And then came the big revelation. Jesus proclaimed,
I and my Father are one.
For that they tried to stone him for blasphemy. But he chose this 8th day of Hanukkah, the anniversary of his incarnation, to make that astounding announcement. Oh, and another gold nugget, the 8th day of Hanukkah is Tevet 2 on the Hebrew calendar, which occurs on a new moon. His incarnation is a new beginning. And then he was born on the full moon of Tabernacles, Tishri 15. So, Jesus was incarnated on a new moon, and in the fullness of time, he was born on a full moon, Galatians 4:4.
You know, such detail is really astounding.
It really is. And remember, to the Christian, every day is Christmas, so maybe December is not the actual time of his birth, but his incarnation in the same month, this year, December 15th, is an even bigger miracle. So let's keep that revelation in all our minds as we keep our family traditions, knowing it's most important that we celebrate that he was even born at all, and grasp the beauty of all the lights at Christmas, for he is the light that hung on a tree for you and me. And it's also a time where many hearts are more tender and open to spiritual matters. So please share this information with others. And while you are doing that, be sure to look at your own spiritual side as well. Has idols gotten in the way? You know, you can rededicate your temple also. And do you play any Christmas games with the children? You can try the dreidel game. Dreidel, maybe it says. Where the children play with a top. It's called a dreidel, which means to turn. And the dreidel has four Hebrew letters, initials, inscribed on each side that stands for a great miracle happened here. Each player spins, and when it stops, they add the points of the assigned value of the letter that falls face up. The most points after seven spins wins. It's just a fun way for the children to remember the miracle of Hanukkah. So the theme of tonight's program is to let your light shine, because the world is getting darker. I pray it's not because the Christians' lights are getting dim. I pray that you will use this story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing and to perhaps bring someone back whose light might be going out. Ask God to put that someone in your path and then be obedient. Sometimes you even have to be blunt. You know, you could say, I detect your light is getting dim. Let me help you. Or perhaps you're desiring a new life, having purpose and meaning. You really can start over and be born again. Believe on him now and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Repent and let the word of God cleanse you and heal you of all your sins. Just open your heart's door and he will be glad to come in. But if you're thinking, not right now, maybe tomorrow, it will just get more difficult. Soon, his knocking will become less and less. Don't let the devil deceive you. Now is that time for full redemption that, my friend, brings joy, unspeakable joy. I want to leave you with the blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Of course, that's from number 6. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And of course, you get that out of Psalm 122, verse 6, and everybody should memorize that one. Also, before we leave, I just want to make a quick note. Tell your friends and family about these Bible study programs. And we're going to pick them up again after the holidays on January 9th. And please pray about helping to sponsor Shofar Ministries. For now would be an excellent time to do that. And be sure to include your prayer requests. I pray for you all every night individually. And Dan and I wish you all a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year to you all. So think about a New Year's resolution. Get back into your Bible. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.